Adam Peters on negotiations with Terry McLaurin. Quote, we have had conversations recently. We'll have more. We'll do everything we can to get a deal done. Closed quote. What's your takeaway from listening to Adam Peters answer multiple questions about the current standoff in negotiations over a contract extension with Terry McLaurin? Do you think, and did you hear or sense, they're far apart, that the process is ongoing and they're working towards it, or something is imminent? 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980, and anything else that you'd like to add the conversation that you reaction to the conversation that we just heard. I thought there were a couple of interesting things specific to the Terry deal. He did say very early on, just like with all of our players, we expect him to be here today. He said, without a doubt, everybody in this building values Terry very much. And he said, you know, with respect to this negotiation, it's just kind of the nature of our business. Obviously, we'd like to get things done quickly, but it doesn't always happen that way. We're dealing with, in the case of Terry, a really good person and a good player. So there are going to be twists and turns, but having that confidence and understanding that our goal is getting a long-term deal done, we'll keep focusing on that. I don't know where they are on this. The Fowler report from over the weekend would indicate that there is some distance between what Terry thinks he's worth and what the team is willing to offer Terry. I didn't hear anything that would indicate they're close. I also didn't hear anything that got to the point where you sensed any sort of, you know, frustration from the team's standpoint, like we did from Terry last week, or like we have heard from Terry's side for, you know, a month plus now. You know, and I think the team is smart. Adam Peters is good in these situations. He's not going to, you know, reveal much. He's certainly not going to take the opportunity to set the record straight on any of the other reporting that's out there. He's certainly not going to be in any sort of accusatory, you know, mode. I think that that is the right way to handle it. I think, you know, every answer he gave was an answer that made sense for them. Wasn't super revealing, but it was for the most part very positive. There was a question asked, and I forget by whom, about the nature of what they did in San Francisco. And he said, look, that wasn't always me necessarily, but I was certainly there and a part of it and saw it. But the situations, you know, each of them are different. You know, I've talked about how Bosa and Kittle and Ayuk and a few others have basically been negotiated contract extension-wise very late in August into early September. So there's always been the possibility that Adam Peters, coming from San Francisco, is going to have a style similar to what they did in San Francisco. This is the first legitimate big-time contract situation that he's been faced with as the man, as the general manager. And so we're going to learn from this for sure, because there are others coming. You know, this time next year, it's Tunsil. This time next year, it might even be a guy like Luvu. And in 2 years, it's obviously going to be Jaden Daniels, although that one seems like it would be pretty easy to get done. There were a couple of things real quickly before I get to your calls that I thought were interesting in terms of what he said. You know, lots of conversation about Von Miller. He said that they looked at others early on in free agency. You know, I think those players that they looked at were players like Josh Sweat, Joey Bosa, Dexter Lawrence, maybe even a guy like Harold Landry. You know, there was never a chance for Myles Garrett because of the deal that he signed. And Trey Hendrickson, the asking price was always too high, and maybe Trey Hendricks, Hendrickson's asking price is too high. But I think that, you know, they always had, and it made sense in how long have we been talking about it, they still needed another, you know, pure pass rusher. And there were other free agents out there that still haven't signed, Clowney, Za'Darius Smith, Matthew Judon. But, you know, I think that early on, certainly a guy like Joey Bosa was on their radar. I know that he was. He ended up signing in Buffalo. It's possible that DeMarcus Lawrence was on their radar, and a guy like Josh Sweat or even a guy like Harold Landry were. They all signed much earlier. And so then it was just about, you know, finding that veteran player if you weren't going to make a trade for a TJ Watt or a Trey Hendrickson, finding that veteran player and then the timing on getting it done. A lot of those veteran players don't want to sign before OTAs and before a minicamp. They'd much prefer to sign right before training camp begins so that they don't have to feel pressured to attend voluntary stuff or be present for mandatory stuff in late spring. So I thought that was interesting. There was no answer, nor was there going to be with respect to Trump's tweets over the weekend, because that is a higher up in the organization situation. That is, you know, that's ownership and team president, you know, Mark Klaus, etc. What else did I write down here? I thought it was interesting that, you know, he said, I think it was in relation to the question about they have the oldest roster in the NFL. And he talked about, you know, this, you know, proverbial elite quarterback rookie contract window. And he said three of the four teams last year, or the final four teams last year, that year, that would be Buffalo, Josh Allen against Kansas City and Mahomes, and then, of course, Jalen Hurts against Jaden Daniels, that three of those four quarterbacks had been paid. So he said, hopefully, he said, I don't even know what the window means, but hopefully our window is as long as we're here. Look, they're going to have multiple windows, but they'll all look different after Jaden gets paid in terms of the roster situation. I also thought that that was an interesting quote. Where is it? I wrote it down here. He said that the somebody asked to compare kind of last year's roster to this year's, and he said, quote, I'd like to think we're better. I think we have a better roster, closed quote. Well, you certainly know that you have a better roster, you know, compared to what you knew this time last year, even though they were very, you know, optimistic, bullish on Jaden Daniels. But you certainly didn't know for sure what Bobby Wagner or Zach Ertz had left. You didn't know how quickly Mikey Sanristil would develop. I thought that was an interesting answer when he was talking about, you know, year two guys. And he said, you know, with Mikey and with Jaden, their year two learning came in season in year one. He said about Von Miller, by the way, you know, very impressed with the year that he had last year when you turned on the tape and went back and watched him last year in Buffalo. What else? Oh, the very last question about culture. I think Chick asked that question. I love that Adam didn't try to take any credit for it. Not to say that he didn't have and play a big role in it with the kind of players they looked for, but really what happened was one horrible Dan left and one really good and attractive to the rest of the NFL Dan arrived. The hiring of Dan Quinn, which was always you know, very top of the list in terms of their candidates, despite what people reported and talked about at the time, it was all about what they thought he could do as a head coach and bringing in people and attracting people that would change the culture quickly. And Peters gave Quinn all of that credit. You know, without DQ, a lot of those guys would have never showed up, you know, shown up, despite the fact that Snyder was gone. That was certainly helpful that it was a different organization and it wasn't the perceived cesspool that it was before. But Quinn attracted the first-rate staff and attracted a lot of those veteran players and still does, because his reputation around the league is as impeccable as anybody's. And more importantly, it's like the people want to be around him and want to play for him. You know, Adam Peters and I think also Dan Quinn mentioned, you know, Jaden's a part of that too. You know, I saw this quote that I didn't mention when I was talking about Von Miller. I pulled it up here. Von Miller, I guess, did an interview with the Skins YouTube guys. He said, you know, signing with Washington, quote, it was the best team with the best quarterback. That's usually the math for me to be able to go and do what I do. You can't leave Josh Allen and just go anywhere. Closed quote. That's a great quote. You know, he was in Denver when he won a Super Bowl with Peyton Manning. Of course, it was Peyton Manning's end. Then he went to the Rams with Matt Stafford and won a Super Bowl. And then he went to Buffalo where he got close with Josh Allen. And a guy like Von Miller, with some options even at his age, even with some of the off-the-field stuff of the last couple of years, which Quinn and Peters addressed, you know, he's looking for his math is, you know, best team with the best quarterback. And it's amazing to say this after so many years of not being able to come close to being able to say this, but Washington is one of the better teams with one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL. That is super attractive. Add a head coach that everybody likes and everybody talks about in a way in which, you know, word of mouth spreads about Dan Quinn, and you end up with Von Miller choosing here at the end of his career to try to win something. All right, 301-230-0980. Adam Peters answered multiple questions about Terry McLaurin. I don't think that they were very revealing in actual words, but what did you make of maybe the tone? Did you learn anything? Do you think they are very far apart? Do you think that they're making progress, or do you think that they are really closing in on a deal? What'd you hear, and anything else from the Quinn Peters press conference?